All right, you guys ready?
Yep.
All right, nice smile for the camera, then we'll go. Welcome, everybody, to this session of O365A, where we're going to discuss something near and dear to my heart, and it's building and releasing a Teams app to the Microsoft Store. So this is of interest to me because I develop software, and I've always often wondered just how easy it is, what are the big rusty bolts, what's the process of actually getting it into the Teams Store. So live from the trenches, we have Dino Caputo and Kevin Keeler, affectionately known as Enable UC, and they've recently built a Teams app called Trivia Engine, and they've released it to the Microsoft Store. So with that in mind, Kevin, why don't you just maybe kick us off and tell us, why did you decide to create a Teams app, and maybe just give us like a two-sentence intro to the Trivia Engine?
Yeah, no, well, thanks for having us. Trivia Engine was originally created way back, and it was active server pages in Flash, and it seemed like it was a good time to bring it, into the Teams, store as a proper application. I looked today, and there seems like there's 1,208 Teams apps, but a lot of them really aren't Teams apps. They're just like a very thin veneer. For example, like you can get WebEx and Zoom in Teams, and let's be honest, those aren't Teams apps. That's really just like a link off to it. So what we wanted to do was embrace Teams and then bring an app into it. And Trivia Engine is really designed to be a knowledge reinforcement tool that uses gamification. So really it's like a quiz show that you can play in an asynchronous way just to reinforce important messages inside your organization.
Good stuff. Habib, I think you had some questions about just the process of building the app, right?
Yeah, so I mean, there's obviously a lot of different resources at your hands to be able to, understand like sort of the process, videos, apps, stuff like that. So maybe you can just explain sort of like what were the best resources the team utilized to sort of get a handle as to what the requirements would be for building the application. And then in terms of what, during the process, what were the tools that you used to actually build the app itself?
Yeah, so I'll start, and then Dino, you can add in. So, I mean, I'm just going to give a bit of a laundry list. Like, I think, Habib, the point is there's almost too many choices now. And I think that, I started developing video games back in the VIC-20 and Commodore 64 days, and, you had like kind of one choice. Now there's like, you spend a lot of time, and actually Dino and I and the developers spent a bunch of time just figuring out what tool set to use. So in the end, we ended up using, Cosmos DB as the database, even though I would have preferred SQL Server because I understood that. Now I had to learn about Cosmos DB, and there's things that I am still definitely learning. We use Visual Code, which is kind of the free version of Visual Studio. But interestingly enough, Visual Code has some tools in it. It runs faster, and it actually has a bunch of tools that aren't as available in Visual Studio. So it's an interesting thing. We originally used, Azure Durable Functions, but then there was some challenges with just the startup time. So we now are using Azure Functions with Azure Redis, which is a in-memory cache that I don't fully understand, but thankfully our developers do. All the backend is developed in C#, and all the front-end client piece is TypeScript, and then we used this thing called Svelte, which is kind of a React-like library. But once again, you have too many choices, and if you ask us how long it took us too long because it wasn't clear what tools to use. And, Curtis, like, for sure in development, like getting 80% of the way done, sometimes you can only get 80% if you pick the wrong tool, because then the remaining 20% is impossible to finish. So I think we're happy with the architecture, but yeah, that's kind of some of the tool set, Habib.
Yeah, I mean, it must have been definitely challenging, especially when you're trying to build it now, but also be forward thinking as to like what the management of it and stuff like that from a future perspective too, right? So kudos to you guys for trying to nail that down.
I guess time will tell, you know. Like, I mean, you know, Dino, I mean, we had a lot of discussions around, you know, do you build, you know, because there's a whole like build fast or build for the long term. I mean, the long term doesn't count if you can't make it through the short term. So,
yeah, the term MVP, not to be confused with Microsoft Most Valuable Professional, or was thrown out a lot, which is minimum viable product. I'm sure, Kurt, that's thrown around at Quest all the time. And that's what became challenging, was just, okay, well, what do we just absolutely need, or what else can we push out? So, yeah, the process was interesting for sure.
Well, speaking of process, okay, so now you get the app built. Let's talk about getting it into the team store. Just at a high level, maybe Dino, what did that process look like?
Yeah, so that was an area that I kind of focused on, and because it didn't involve cutting any code, so that was right up my alley. So it's you need to do, it's all driven through the Microsoft Partner Center. So as a partner, you can, even if you don't have any competencies, you can just sign up to be a partner and get set up by Microsoft. So that's a minimum requirement, obviously. And then you get access to a portal, and you get an MPN, a Microsoft partner number assigned, and you have to fill out a lot. There's quite a bit of, I call, paperwork or stuff you have to do online. But really where this is all driven is the Office Store service that you have to add into your Partner Center. So when you log into your Partner Center, you're going to see a number of things like your advisor, your MPN number, all the housekeeping related items related to your partner account. But then there's two things you want to look at. And the first one is the Office Store, and you have to sign an agreement, and then you get another addition to the left rail in the Partner Admin Center. And the Office Store exposes where you can actually sign up for an app. So that's where it starts to get exciting. You see this, and you can say new product setup, and you start by defining a name for your product, and a bunch of checks are done in terms of making sure that it's a unique name. You have to go through a bunch of different steps, you know, what your product does, the packages for your product. So all Teams apps have a manifest that you have to create, and there's a certain minimum number of items that have to go into the manifest. A bunch of properties, marketplace listings that you have to go through to expose, you know, to advertise what your app does in the marketplace, whether you want to co-sell with Microsoft or not. So there's quite a bit of, you know, things you're going through. You know, I think, so that process took a while. It was like, you know, until we first had our first manifest, you know, we spent some time just building out the shell, understanding what we needed to get. And then, you know, the exciting time came when we had the first manifest and we went to submit it. I don't know if you want me to get into that now, if there's that's a whole process in and of itself, but I'm not sure if that, hopefully that explains, you know, getting it into the store. So it's all driven through the Partner Center, you know, so have to have your manifest, have all the different listings in there. Yeah, and then you basically submit it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I've heard that before. I forget that it's through the Partner Center. I don't think a lot of people would realize that. Do you know, you mentioned it took a while, just, you know, roughly start from finish, starting from ground zero, gaining all the knowledge, all the paperwork. Roughly, how long did that process take?
So from the time we hit submit, you get an email back saying thank you for your submission. And then it's sort of, the docs.microsoft.com says it could take up to 7 to 14 days. So I think we submitted, on a Friday, Kevin, and like literally Monday morning, we got a notice back with a laundry list of items saying, yeah, we got your app and we've done some testing and here's where it's failed. And I think I can't recall, Kevin, but we had three major showstoppers in the app.
Yeah.
Things we absolutely had to correct or they wouldn't publish. And then a bunch of recommended, probably like 12 different recommendations on, you know, nice to have things in the app. And I mean, kudos to Microsoft because they do a very thorough job, and it was in a very quick turnaround. And it's really well done. Like you have this, everything's in a table, and with every single issue in the app, they refer you back to the documentation. And the documentation isn't always the greatest, so to put that politely. So it's kind of confusing. We had a lot of our time spent deciphering what it actually meant. So, you know, so we got it back Monday, and then we spent some time trying to fix, you know, obviously major issues. You know, get everything corrected. If there was a change in the manifest, you'd have to load it. Otherwise, you could just fix the problems, and then you'd reply back to the email saying, we've addressed all these issues. Please test again. And then you get you iterate through that process. So I think we probably went through 2 weeks of back and forth before we finally had an accepted product. Maybe it was 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, that's not bad. You mentioned, like, you know, going back, correcting issues. Was there one or two issues that was particularly difficult to address?
Yeah, so I'm going to jump in here because okay. I want to highlight two things that Dino said, because I think it's really important. The documentation is a little difficult to decipher. And in some ways, it's kind of like the Microsoft approach. It's not sometimes that there's a lack of documentation. It's sometimes that there's too much documentation and you're not really sure if it applies, because they'll write documentation that talks about apps and it's unclear if it applies to your app that, you know, or your particular circumstance. But I do want to call out that the testing was phenomenal. Like, as a software developer, I'm a great tester because I always can identify this would be difficult to code, so I can break things quickly. And I was super impressed. Like, they found things that were really impressive. And one of the things that actually, like, I had mocked up how the screen should work, and I didn't realize this. So this was definitely, if you're thinking about building an app, on a Teams tab, a channel tab app, I didn't realize that every person's view of the data, the data itself, has to be consistent for every single person. So in Trivia Engine, you go through these challenges and you get your score. But originally I thought, whoa, this would be great. You go to see the scoreboard and you see the top scores, but then it says, hey, Kevin, this is your best score. And, you know, but, you know, Dino, if Dino goes to the same tab, it says, here's the scoreboard, and Dino, here's your best score. And what I was really impressed is the testers figured that out, that we did that. And that's, you know, that's not part of the design guide. That's okay in a personal tab, but not okay in a channel tab. But in order to do that, they had to actually test it using multiple accounts. And in that nice table that Dino spoke about, they showed, they're like, here's a screenshot. Here I'm logged in as admin one and look. And here's a screenshot, and I'm logged in as admin two, and look, it shows something different, and they circled it, and then they referred us to the right documentation. So that was, you know, I thought they did a great job. The second thing is they wanted in the description, in the manifest, they wanted us to have, like, clickable links, but there was no documentation to suggest how you could include clickable links, because according to the manifest, you know, schema, it's just plain text. But you could use some simple markup language that, you know, once, like, you could find other people and say, well, how did they do that? And eventually there is a page somewhere on the web that tells you how to do this, but it certainly was not clear to us. So it was only when they said, hey, you got to add this, then that we did some snooping around and figured out how to do that. So those are certainly two things that we learned through the process.
Good, great info. And before I turn it over to Michael, just a real quick question about, I noticed your app, the certification level says publisher.
Attestation, yes.
Could you have gone further? Is there higher levels of certification? And what does that buy you?
Yeah, I'll throw it to Dino for that, because I think he spent the most time sorting through this.
So there's, at a minimum, you have to complete the basic publisher attestation, and it's a self-attestation. So you have to do it, but there's nobody really looking over your shoulder to test any of it. So, and if you go to appsource.microsoft.com and you search up Trivia Engine or you search up any app, you can see our attestation there. And it asks you, it's a laundry list of questions about, you know, where do you store your data? Do you have data practices? Is it all resident in a single spot? Do you do penetration testing? Do you have firewalls and all sorts of things? And so at a minimum level, you have your publisher attestation, and then, which I would say based on just a cursory view of apps in the App Store, I'm going to just say that 98% of apps have just that. And then the next level is the full Microsoft 365 certification, which goes like a huge step further, and you get a nice Microsoft emblem and gold seal on the app. And that's really another level. I think there's a lot more documentation to fill out. I believe then Microsoft gets involved in actually validating some of that stuff, and you have to produce, basically back up what you're saying for that. So I noticed, I think Adobe had an app that actually had that emblem on it. So, you know, it's really meant for apps, enterprise grade apps that are very serious, probably being installed in maybe GCC high or DoD tenants, things like that, where they, you know, absolutely have to have the highest level of certification or attestation. So yeah, good question.
Yeah, but
I would say though, this brings up an interesting point, because one of the kind of challenges that we're currently going through is, you know, it's not clear that enterprises understand how they're going to go and approve Teams apps. And so even talking to a whole bunch of enterprises, like, it, you know, by default, okay, they could just let everybody install whatever app they want. And there is, you know, I mean, at a minimum, like, it's gone through some Microsoft testing. So, I mean, it's not like it's just, you know, the Wild West. It definitely has gone through some level of testing. And then there's the vendor attestation, which is like self-attested. But even, you know, when organizations turn off third-party apps, most of them would leave Microsoft apps enabled so you can install things from Microsoft, which kind of makes sense, because if you're running Teams, you kind of trust Microsoft. But then it's unclear. Like, I talked to some organizations and the people, you know, somebody wants to try out Trivia Engine, but they go to install it and then they run into a permission box. But the problem is their IT, and sometimes I've even talked to the IT administrator in small organizations, and he or she is the global administrator, and they don't know how to actually allow the app to be installed. So I have to, you know, talk them through the process. So I think that's an interesting, you know, challenge that Microsoft has. Is it's fantastic that they have hundreds and whatever it was, 1,208 apps in the Team Store, but if everybody turns that off, that really doesn't become the what hub where work gets done if it's a non-Microsoft app, right? So I think that is a bit of a challenge to figure out.
Yeah, and I just want to quickly comment to the listeners that you can find out all of the compliance of the Trivia Engine app in the Microsoft 365 app compliance program under Microsoft Teams app. And we'll include the link for that URL as well, so you can see all of the details that Dino and Kevin were mentioning. So over to you, Michael. Now,
yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about building the app, getting the app published. So now, I guess, next steps. So if you go through enhancing the app, maybe changing the certification level. Is Microsoft constantly validating the app with their own services? Are they, you know, you have to tell them that a new release is out before it can be published? Or how does that cycle go as you kind of get past the post-release?
Yeah, Dino, why don't you start with this?
Yeah, so it's a good question, and one we're curious about too. And we have actually the next release ready to go. We want to release that personal tab functionality. Because it initially was available, and then we removed it, and because of the views of the scoreboard. So we have that coming up. So basically, we just resubmit the app. And the good news is that because we have a published app, that continues to be the downloadable version until the new certified V2 gets approved. So we will go through that exact same process again, except all we're doing is uploading the manifest. Like nothing else, as long as nothing else changes in terms of our attestation, we're good. So, you know, our screenshots have all been uploaded, everything like that. As long as none of those really change, then all we're really doing is resubmitting and hitting go on that. And then that starts that email dialogue and testing process again. So we're looking forward to that. That's what we're going to do in our version two, is actually expose the app so that people can install it on a personal tab, which I think will help get traction ultimately.
What happens? So Kevin mentioned early on that, you know, some vendors are just releasing a manifest that points to their web services. And so that scenario, they could be reiterating versions quite a bit because they're not retouching the manifest. Is Microsoft testing for those scenarios, or if it's just if you change the manifest version, you have to go through the process again?
Yeah, I would say there's two things. So there's like, you know, Teams apps are effectively web apps. So you certainly can change a lot of the back-end processing without causing you to trigger the need to resubmit a new manifest. In our case, like to add, for example, to say it can be installed in a personal tab as well as a Teams tab, or if you then allowed the app to be installed as a sidebar in a meeting, that requires a manifest change. So you're going to have to go through the resubmission process. Now, Microsoft says, and based on how, you know, good their testing was, I believe them in this, that they regularly run a whole bunch of batch tests against all the apps in the App Store. I don't exactly know what they do, what they look for, or what you would have to kind of change at the back end to trigger, you know, them coming back to you and saying, hey, wait a second, you know, you made this major change, right? So, but certainly, you know, if we noticed that the scoreboard was displaying something incorrectly, we certainly could, you know, make that fix, you know, in the back end service without triggering any type of manifest change.
Yeah, I think this is pretty helpful. One question we didn't really touch on, especially on Dino on the Partner Center, is how do you monetize this through through the Teams App Store, and how do you start charging for this if you want to move away from the kind of the free version or something like that?
Yeah, and that's a great probably question. The most important question. So we're at an interesting time because Microsoft's just, you know, in the past you had to monetize it completely outside of the App Store, and for all intents and purposes, that's the case today. But Microsoft has talked about monetizing apps and allowing them to be the broker. So, and there is some documentation out there, and we are, you know, I'm not sure what release this will be. The way Privy Engine is monetized currently is, the game itself is free, the app is free, but you pay for the creator license in the background to get content into your own games. So that all happens offline. But in one of our releases down the road, we're going to actually expose the creator app portion of the app in the same app. And we're hoping that you can, you know, the licensing, the monetization part is made available at that point. And I know that there was a tap program for the monetization, because I looked at it and I actually saw some apps in Ring 1.5 in terms of, you know, how that works. So the whole thing would be handled within the App Store, which is awesome. Because now you don't have to worry about sending calls to some API to get, like Stripe or Stripe gateways, which are common. You don't have to do any of that. It's all handled by Microsoft. And one of the other things I had to do is in the commercial marketplace to set up all the tax and banking info and all of that stuff. So that's secondary to the Office Store. Is you got to get all that stuff set up in the commercial marketplace, which I've done. So we'll be ready to go once Microsoft releases that. And to be quite honest, I'm not sure if that's public now or if that's still in development, but I know that that's coming out soon.
Yeah, and one thing to add there is like Microsoft, you know, I mean, I think Microsoft's App Store has never really gotten the traction of other app stores. But one of the exciting things, and we're excited about this, is that Microsoft, many months ago, reduced kind of their transaction fees, what they're charging from, you know, like I think like Google Play and the Apple's, you know, App Store, it's like 30%, maybe going down to 20%. You know, Microsoft has said that it's going to be in like the 3% threshold, right? Which is fantastic, because if you were doing it yourself, you were going to pay those types of merchant fees anyway for the backend credit card processing. So I think the future is exciting, and we're looking forward to be kind of, you know, one of the first organizations, you know, to kind of go through that process.
Well, I mean, it's a large user audience that if you could tap into, it could be pretty nice and low transaction fees for the store. That's a bonus. Maybe kind of wrapping the whole thing up, anything that or any paths that you went down that you would maybe recommend to others building an app that maybe not to go, or any tips as someone maybe starts on this journey of building their own app?
Yeah, I think for me, I'll throw one thing out is, so like, you know, Trivia Engine's been around for, you know, 20 plus years in various incarnations. So we know the concept works. But I think one of the things that I didn't realize, and I'm still trying to figure out how to get through this, is, you know, you look at those, whatever, the 250 million monthly active users or 145 million daily active users, and you say exactly what you said, Michael.
They're all going to buy.
That's a big audience, right? The problem that, you know, our target is enterprise. Like Trivia Engine is supposed to be, you know, knowledge reinforcement in the enterprise, right? And the problem we're finding is, as opposed to if we just built it and we chose to go full in on Teams, lean into Teams, that was our philosophy. If we just put this out as a web app, then anybody in the organization could go to our website, throw in their credit card and purchase it. Right now, the problem we have is the IT admin is the gatekeeper. And so we have people in the organization that are in human resources, they're in sales, training, they say, absolutely, I want this Trivia Engine. We say, great, go to the store. They go, they search for Trivia Engine, and they can't install it. So, you know, the 250 million monthly active users, I don't know if that number's like ridiculously small, because the companies, the larger companies, maybe all the IT admins have shut it down. And so now we got to explain to both IT and the business user, or get the business user to explain to IT. So I don't know the solution to that. If anybody listening has a great solution, let us know, because that's obviously, you know, we want to monetize it and we want to deliver value, but to try it out, you got to be able to install it. So I don't know, Dino, what have you learned through the process?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's certainly the biggest one. And I think was, we launched the game during Ignite, and I think, Michael, we were super excited. We're like, everyone's going to download it and, you know, that was the first one. So should be getting a prize for that.
But, yeah.
I think that's what he's gunning for right now.
But I know,
yeah. No headsets.
I think we started to get some good feedback, and that's all. I can't install the app. And that was the number one problem, was, you know, the fact that most orgs don't, like, they just shut off the App Store. And when we dove into it, we started to ask the question, like, well, we have governance and we have to, you know, IT can't take on managing more apps. And I think that's another major frustrating issue, is that the lack of understanding that, you know, IT, an organization doesn't have to support any of the apps in that store. They're third party. They're supported by a third party. But I think IT feels like they own it once it's installed and they need to support it. But I know, having lived through this at lots of my larger customers, that, you know, once the end user gets that it's not an IT supported app, they have to go to Confluence, or they got to go to Jira directly. Like, they just, they deal with it and they understand that. So, you know, I think that's probably the biggest hurdle that, you know, we've definitely encountered. I'm not sure if there was any other, figuring out Cosmos scripts. Like, even my background, I can write some SQL queries, but Cosmos is way out there. You have to think of things just in this blob storage, and there's no structuring or normalizing of any data. So it's kind of wild to get into.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just to your point about the like people can't install the app. So I go through my fair share of security assessments for applications with my customers, which are high security environments. And, you know, we, for every app, like we all of our app stores are locked down, and we basically have to go through a one by one security assessment for every application that we wish to publish. But what we do is that obviously we don't publish it org-wide at the beginning. We create a new app permission policy. We assign all the global apps in that policy. And then we also assign the new one that we want to have piloted, right? And then we assign that policy to the group of users that we are going to include in our pilot, so they can go through the validation testing, the security team, you know, if there's any compliance department and stuff like that. So that's sort of our approach when it comes to approving application. And generally, it goes pretty quickly once you start getting the process sort of nailed down. Like, you know, if it's a Microsoft application, generally that goes a lot faster. The major questions that are always that come up are, where does the data reside and what data is being shared externally, et cetera. Those are some of the challenges that sort of we get through. So just some ideas for you guys as well when you're talking with folks as well.
Yeah, I think, Habib, the cool thing is, because you're super knowledgeable and you're a Microsoft, you know, MVP, you understand all those permission settings and you understand that you can do exactly what you said. The problem that we're running into is, so it's blocked, but they don't know what their governance policy is. And if they do, as you know, like whether it's Azure AD or Teams Admin Center, there's so many choices that are kind of like overlapping that nice process that you described, there's not somebody with your expertise at every large organization. So, you know, they think it's an all or nothing proposition. And
yeah, the default standard is block it until we come back to build the policy around allowing it. Right.
We don't understand it, so we're going to turn it off. And then, so the other super frustrating part is with one organization that we're dealing with, a large enterprise. You know, the frustrating part there is a user goes, they find Trivia Engine, it's blocked because they don't allow users to consent to any apps. But then, you know, it comes up saying, oh, you just, you know, send the request and it goes to this admin. And we figured, okay, so we've done it a couple times because we've access to the tenant. And it's just going to a black hole because clearly
no one set up the address.
Well, it eventually times out after 30 days. It sends you notification that says your request.
Nobody goes to Azure AD to review the admin permission request, right? To approve. Right.
And they're like, they have this offline kind of archaic, really old school way of thinking about the app. And they want to just go through this crazy governance. And it's a wonder that any app would get approved, you know? And it's really incongruent to how Teams was built and thought of and designed, because the whole idea of it is to foster engagement and collaboration, but yet the beauty of it, because you can lean into Teams and do everything with it, including single sign-on, which, you know, and this is what's frustrating to us, is that the app, we fully 100% lean into Teams, you know, and that's the beauty of it, is that as you're logged in, like that's your user account, really. There's no separate accounts. There's nothing outside of your tenant. So you would think that would actually help the process, because, you know, we're not doing anything outside of it. It's very secure. So it's as secure as your own Azure AD is set up, really, you know. But unfortunately, that's what we're facing, is, you know, we've got to get beyond that governance or lack of governance flow that some organizations have.
Yeah. Well, guys, I mean, this was definitely a great discussion. Appreciate you guys coming on and sort of walking us through, you know, that, you know, initial stage, what's the word, ideation? Yeah. From that perspective, and then moving along through building the app, and then, you know, getting it into the store, and, you know, what the future holds. So we're definitely looking forward to some of the future updates, and appreciate you guys coming on and discussing with that. And thanks everybody for listening in. Hopefully you took some good tips out of this, and we'll catch you on our next episode.
Thank you.
Thanks. See you.